C1F. Number 3B.
Have we been faithful, just a little bit faithful, to our spiritual revelators and natural scientists agree as reality? We haven't. See? And here, Mrs. Eddy tries to explain all that and said, you can really translate the whole universe of matter, the whole universe of space and time. You can translate it back into spirit with no tricks at all, but just one thing, that you take that mind, which is God, as your mind. And looking out from that mind, you only see spiritual facts in the spiritual universe. These are the big life practice problem which we have to meet. More important than our bodily ailments and so on, which we have and which are very disagreeable and which we shouldn't have, but which don't solve the world problem. But the world problem has to be solved by seeing what is the big thing happening. See, it is only, 500 years that men discovered space. Really. It's only just in the 15th century that painters began to paint landscapes. They discovered space. It's only 500 years since the first writers began to describe landscapes. Before, they didn't know that. They discovered space. It was the discovery right afterwards of the world, Columbus, Magellan, and so on. It was that when Galileo discovered the telescope and could take space near and begin to overcome space. And we are still engaged in overcoming space by trains and airplanes and rockets, but still engaged in the old question which started 500 years ago, to overcome that what we have discovered, space. But what is new is this, in this age, is that we discovered that there is no time, and that we have to overcome the sense of time. That we have not started yet properly. And time and space are that limitation which makes the universe of spirit look like a material limited universe. Take away from any problem you have space and time. Take it away. What is left? Nothing left of the problem. Nothing. We are in an age where the multitude of disharmonies are being reduced and reduced and reduced and reduced to just overcoming space and time. And spirit is that synonymous term for being which has no space at no time. And that is which translates the concept of a limited material universe back into a spiritual universe. The time is ready for a science of ideas, because idea is the answer to space and time. Because idea, as far as I know, up to now, is the only fact in being that has no space and no time. Even the good human affection has time. It comes and goes. Even a good human thought starts and ends. Has time. Even a good human thought is usually very limited in space. it goes just as far and no further. Usually just as far as the family and no further. These are the footsteps of truth itself. To take that step inwardly, to see that time and space are human concepts. The spiritual seers have always told it. Now the material scientists support it. And so there should not be so much opposition within us as to the, would you say, credulity?
Yeah.
Credulity of this fact. Yes. Got it. I have to get on. Spiritus principle says that the scientific operation of the divine principle rests on understanding. So the operation again of the principle rests on understanding. Its demonstrations are wrought through spiritual sense and can only be grasped through spiritual sense. So, every healing can only be grasped through spiritual sense. With the material sense, we may witness a change on the body. We may witness a change of an inflammation going back and not being inflamed anymore. We can witness through the material sense a change, but we can't witness through material sense a demonstration of spirit. That's not possible. Because we know only too well that the magician can heal somebody who believes in magic with his means. We know that the faith healer can heal those who believe in faith through faith healing. We know that the mesmerist, like Mesmer, like Quimby, could heal with great success those people who believed in it. We know so many things that medicine heals by the thousands and millions those who believe in medicine. So a healing as such is no proof of the quality of healing. The proof is seen through spiritual sense. And only when we can see the spiritual, the moving spirit behind the healing and define that as God, as spirit, then we know that something really was healed, and not only the body. She says here that demonstrations are a translation of the spiritual original into the language which human thought can comprehend. So it's only a translation to the language which human thought can comprehend. For spiritual sense, there is no necessity to see it also materially. Spiritual sense can testify to something which is true without needing the support of material sense. We just know that we know. And we can see things as demonstrations which material sense cannot perceive as a demonstration. Then as life, she says, the law of spirit is immortal. You see at once now a touch of life, that whenever we go out from spirit, that we can only see the reality as immortal. And that material sense is self-destructive. That matter really is retrograding. I was just recently reading again my own article on Dunui, which I wrote 20 years ago or so. I was again impressed by Dunui's presentation of evolution. That man must have seen something spiritually which is perhaps only coming to light in the future and valued properly in the future. He shows, you see, that spirit is immortal, and that what is called material evolution is not an evolution. That which is called a material evolution from the first simple cell up to a conscious human being called man is not a material evolution, but is a material retrogression, and not evolution. It's just the opposite. He shows through those seven unexplainable mutations in evolution, unexplainable through material science or natural science, he shows that what really happened is that matter gave way to spirit, and not that matter evolved from a simple living cell up to the complex manifestation of what is called a human body with an intelligent brain, able to think in ethical ideas and so on. But that really spirit is the immortal, and that what is called material evolution is a retrogression of matter. Exactly what Mrs. Eddy shows here, that mortal sense is really temporal and yields before the immortal sense of spirit. Recently I was reading a little book called God and Nature, written by a professor on biology. And he makes a short statement when he's speaking about creation. He says, creation is taking the restraints off from matter. Creation is taking off the restraints from matter. It's the very opposite of what one was thinking it would be. That creation, one would think, is that matter becomes bigger and more evolved and so on. And naturally he sees, you see, exactly what we see, that the more we change the standpoint to the one standpoint of spirit, that then the unrestricted, infinite creation appears, and that all restrictions fall. And in the measure as restrictions fall, the infinite possibilities, the infinite calculus of spirit can appear. And that is creation. That is revelation. So, in matter itself, there is no law of evolution. There is no intelligence of evolution in matter itself. If matter seems to have evolved through stages and stages, it is because it has given way to the infinite faculties of spirit. Now, this is not academical. This is practical, operative Christianity. Because if I have any disharmonious condition, material or otherwise, the solution lies not that this condition becomes better, but that this condition disappears. And it can only disappear by seeing that I have to take the standpoint of the unlimited sense of spirit. Then the restraints are taken away, are lifted off from matter. And then matter disappears. If we lift, as I said before, from matter away the restraint of space and time, what is left? What is there? And to take away the belief of space and time is something each one of us can. It's not something which nobody could do. Everybody can do it. And become as simple as that. And that's what I feel, that the textbook, though we take it in subtones and subtones, all helps to bring out some very simple, but so fundamental and exact facts that we can see how reality is built up, and to see which fundamental errors have to be corrected in order to correct all errors. Instead of remaining on the plane of metaphysics where we have to deal with hundreds of different errors, I think the textbook reveals to us more and more just those few fundamental points which cover the whole range, the whole gamut of errors.